Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And a good Wednesday afternoon. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Halfway through the week.
Has it seemed like an unusually long week?
We're only halfway through.
The snow, the cold. I feel like we had been off several days, weeks prior for various holidays that we were not included in this week. It seems like it's been a long, long week.
Slight dig on the company here. Not giving us MLK Jr. day off.
No, we'll get through it. You even said if we could get through today, the temperatures start warming up.
They start warming up today.
It'll be warmer than it was yesterday.
36 today, I think.
It will be a little colder tomorrow.
It's 32 right now.
Around 40 Friday, or yeah.
Yeah, 38 Saturday. Friday, then Saturday, Sunday look okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's still winter time.
Now, get to next week. Every day next week, highs in the 40s.
Good. That I can live with.
Yeah.
Did you see NBC's Today Show is coming to town for a pep rally at Union Station Friday morning?
They did that last year, too.
As well they should.
Mm-hmm.
I am so excited.
Tell everybody about the bet.
For this weekend. All right. So, yeah. Today Show will be in town. Huge pep rally at Union Station Friday morning. But then this just in. Someone has placed... a $1.3 million wager on the Chiefs to win against the Buffalo Bills.
Are they underdogs?
They placed the bet at Caesar's Palace. The bet made on the Chiefs' money line at minus 130 could result in a payout of $2.3 million. Kansas City is a 1.5 favorite against Buffalo.
Huh.
Wish I had $1.3 million to wager on a game.
Has anyone checked on all of the local banks around the penitentiary where Chiefsaholic resides?
Wow.
I don't think he has that much money in his canteen account.
They didn't put him away near Las Vegas, did they? No. He's out! Hey,
5:30 on Sunday.
Lock those bank lobby doors!
We got a busy show today. We're going to speak with Officer John Lacey with the Overland Park Police Department. It's a story we wrapped the show up with last night about the Facebook Marketplace thefts, robberies, if
violent
you will.
Violent robberies.
That occurred in Lee Summit, Kansas City. There were two in Overland Park.
And one in Independence.
Right. And the same two women, it is believed, were responsible for all of them. So Officer John Lacey joins us at 3:15 this afternoon. You've set up an interview in the 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah, because yesterday we were talking about my inability to go to sleep and stay asleep. And then I started dabbling with the old Z-Quil, and that has worked wonders. And we were having this debate in the newsroom. Is Z-Quil addictive? I know that there are other sleep aids that can be addictive, can be abused, Ambien and the like. Yeah. So we reached out to KU and said, look, we don't want to WebMD this. Can someone just come on and talk about why it is at certain ages we have this problem and what is the safe way to address it? Because there are some non-habit-forming medications out there. I would argue Z-Quil is non-habit-forming. It's more psychologically habit-forming for Dana. But I am going to ask her, like, what is wrong with taking just a teeny little capful before I go to bed? Because it makes me go night-night.
Melatonin is not addictive, but you can build a tolerance to it. And I remember, and I've told you this story, I went in for a physical 2 years ago, and I was complaining to my doctor that, you know, I wasn't complaining to him. He said, you know, how are you sleeping? And I said, well, I sleep really good. And he goes, well, what do you take? Do you take anything? And I said, yeah, I do melatonin. And he goes, how much? I go, 40 milligrams. He looks at me. He said a bad word. He said the F word. He goes, F word? Are you trying to kill yourself, man?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no. And he goes, never more than 10 milligrams.
But I really want to sleep.
Yeah. He said melatonin, it's weird. He said it's on a J curve. That if you take, you know, this much, you're right here. If you take too much, then you're actually preventing yourself
mm-hmm.
from going to sleep. That it's a J curve is what he
called it. You're like, well, I was trying to work my way up to 100 milligrams. Squash that.
So you could do better.
Talk to a sleep doctor in the 5 o'clock hour. Okay. We would be remiss if we did not start with the devastating apartment fire in Independence. And if you have not seen live images, I'm assuming all of the morning shows were live.
They were.
Covering the fire. It's one of those three story apartment complexes with you could see all three balconies on the back, mm-hmm. the two up top and the patio on the bottom. It looks like about how many units would you say, Dan?
I believe there were 24 units in that one building.
Yeah. So it's a sprawling complex, but the building that set fire, 24 units, and sadly we know now two adults and two children mm-hmm. died in that fire. And Dan, unattended cooking was the initial thought. Do we know anything more?
That is what Independence Fire, the fire chief, Jimmy Walker, said. It was unattended cooking, a pan left on the stove.
God.
And the call came in around 6 this morning, and we're not sure how long the pan was on the stove. We're not sure about those details, but it was unattended cooking.
For it to start a fire, wouldn't the pan almost have to be on the stove overnight?
I mean, if there was oil in it, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, we could speculate.
And I don't want to do that.
No, right. But man, I would also entertain I would love to speak to some even retired firefighters about this. This entire apartment complex was on fire to the point that when you first look at it, and I want to be clear, this was not arson. There's no indication this was arson. This is one of those fires. The entire apartment complex is fully engulfed. And your first thought is that's arson. It's not, but I'm just trying to explain to you, if you've not seen this, the scope and size of this fire. It surprised me it was unattended cooking.
Were the two adults and two children in the same family?
Same family.
No.
We believe kids were ages 3 and 8.
And they were in a different apartment.
Yeah.
That suffered, according to Chief Walker, a massive amount of fire damage.
Oh, so they were not in the apartment where the fire started.
No.
Correct.
No.
Oh.
And, you know, Dan, I don't know how many neighbors you have. I have several. We are all in one lovely loft area together. I know that we have sprinklers in there. I've seen them up on the ceiling, and there's smoke detectors in every room. And on the stoves, it actually lights up and says cooking surface on. Like, it physically shows you mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And I wondered when I moved in, is that because, like, you're not just looking out for yourself here?
A few years ago, I don't know why, I had put some water on the stove to boil it off. And then I forgot about it, and I left it on. An hour and a half later, I realized, oh, I've got this on the stove. I ran home, and everything was fine.
Was the water boiled all the way down?
It was gone.
It was gone, yeah.
Yeah, just a really hot pan.
This is my greatest fear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my greatest fear is my kids.
One.
Something happens to my kids, but my home burning down, you guys wonder why I have OCD. I check 7 specific things before I leave the house every single day, because I'm absolutely petrified of my house burning down.
There were two Independence firefighters
injured.
That were injured. Mm-hmm. They suffered burns to their hands, necks, and ears, taken to a hospital for treatment. I do believe they had second and third degree burns.
And what age did you say the kids were? 3 and 8?
3 and 8. Oh. Channel 41 interviewed one of the survivors, Josiah Piercy. He, his wife, and baby son were able to escape. Our neighbors were banging on the doors. It was scary.
Wow.
Again, at 6 a.m., that's right before a lot of people are up to go to work. You know, a lot of people, that alarm goes off at 7. But again, and maybe we can get someone from Independence to call in. I know it's early in the investigation. But how does unattended cooking go from one unit to two to the entire complex.
Were there no smoke detectors?
Yes. I read there were working smoke detectors.
One of the persons in that apartment
that apartment.
Was doing the cooking heard the smoke alarm go off, attempted to put out the fire, called 911, I believe, and it just got away from them.
It's terrible. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Horrible tragedy this morning in Independence at the Independence Ridge apartment complex. And Dana just showed me a picture of the building. It is a complete loss. Only a shell of the building that stood overnight. And two adults and two children, sadly, lost their lives in this fire. The fire chief in Independence, Jimmy Walker, holding a news conference earlier today.
We responded to a fire early this morning in an apartment complex right behind us. Upon our arrival, crews were encountered heavy fire from two floors of the three-story apartment building. We made an aggressive interior attack. We conducted multiple rescues via ground ladder and through the stairwells. So we did make multiple rescues. We did start to have structural collapse. At that time, we pulled everybody defensive and then went on. And approximately about 3 hours into the incident, when we were going back in, we did discover there were four deceased people inside the structure.
Okay. Can you explain a little bit more about that? Their ages, male, female, children?
Yes. It was a family of four. We're not releasing the names. I can say that the kids were ages 3 and 8. And the mom and dad were all found on the third floor in the area of the heaviest fire. So our crews were trying desperately to get up to the third floor. Couldn't do it, but I have to commend my people for making a valiant attempt to do everything they can to make a rescue. Unfortunately, today it didn't work out. But our hearts go out to the family. We are the first responders who were on scene. We do have peer support coming out for them, so we take their mental health very seriously as well. We've made contact with the school district, and yes, they are going to be having counselors go out. One of those children was school-aged, so I'll let the school district, if they want to make a statement, make that statement, but I won't say which school district.
Can you tell us?
We are live. Can you just give us clarification for people, what you guys were able to find when you went inside?
After we went back inside, we did find four deceased individuals, two adults, two children.
So these people were not known to be inside as you guys were fighting the fire?
Not at this time. I do not have that information. We do not know. Like I said, when we arrived on scene, we encountered heavy fire conditions. Multiple rescues needed to be made. Our people went to work, did the best job they could.
How did the fire start?
Cause is under investigation right now. I won't speculate.
The update is unattended cooking, and Dan popped his head in earlier to say he thought it was a grease fire. He had heard grease fire.
And the text line is saying we didn't get to hear it, that Jamie and Grayson did an interview with Jimmy Walker, and he confirmed it was a grease fire.
Okay, so we've all... You know what a grease fire looks like. If you haven't personally caused a grease fire because you left bacon on the stove, like, you know that that's going to burn hotter. It's going to burn faster. You heard the wind in the background during his news conference, Chief Walker. Was it just the worst conditions for that type of fire?
Probably. And something else that, we didn't get to hear the interview, but the text line is saying in the interview with Jamie and Grayson, the chief said that whoever called in the fire in the apartment where it started, when they left their apartment, they left the door open.
Okay,
and that did not help.
Is so important that, God forbid, if there is a fire, you close the door.
Correct.
And I think a lot of people would not know that, Scott.
Let's go to Todd in Missouri on line one. Todd, hello.
How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I just got in my car and heard about this horrible fire, and I want people to be aware of something else that can happen. We bought a brand new stove, cook stove, and it had the knobs that face you, you know, like right at your waist area.
Yes.
That face straight out towards you.
Yep.
Well, we ate dinner, and my son called, and we left, you know, things in the pans. Well, my dog had jumped up on the front of the stove to get to the pans, which is totally our fault, but this is what happened. And he turned that thing on
Yeah.
High. Mm. And it got that pan, those pans scorching hot. And when I got home, it was just starting fire. And we got it out. Everything was fine. But, you know, that this can happen. Now, I no longer have that stove because it, you know, it really scared me. But
Todd, you are not the first person by far to say a dog or your own waste when you're walking by bumped the front facing knob on a stove. I've heard that again and again, especially with if you have a lab or, you know, because they smell the food up there.
Right. Stop me if I'm spreading bad information. If you have a grease fire on your stove, you're not supposed to use water.
You're supposed to cover it. If you can, you're supposed to cover it.
Yeah, the water can actually make the fire worse.
It spreads it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Phil in Kansas City. Phil, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, hi. Hi. Just a couple of things. A mature fire in 3 months' time can spread 8,000 times its original size. It's something, the rule of thumb that you need to remember.
Say it again.
A mature fire in 3 minutes can spread 8,000 times its original size.
Wow.
So once a fire gets going, it gets going. And the second point I'd like to bring up is that historically, January 28, 1978, we had the Coates House fire. It happened at 10th and Broadway. 26 people were killed in that.
Is that the Garment District fire?
Yeah, it was the largest loss of life fire in Kansas City, and that record still stands. It occurred in sub-zero temperatures that morning, and we lost 26 people in that fire. It happened to about, I think it was January 28th of 1978.
That is correct. That is the right date. Yep, 10th and Broadway.
Yeah, the worst fire that you can imagine. So these fires that happen in the pre-dawn hours are the worst fires. Because usually they gain headway until it's reported by someone. So I just wanted to bring those points up about the fires and, you know, this Coates House deal that happened historically in 1978.
The Coates House was a hotel at downtown. It was a six-story hotel. It was a beautiful, look, there's a,
yep.
a painting of it. Beautiful hotel. Yeah, 10th and Broadway. You're right.
And ironically, there was a fire station two, the two pumper one truck ran out, and they were right in back of it. They were within the same block of this fire. It didn't matter with the fire station being that close that this fire took off, and like I say, it claimed 26 people. It was a bad fire. It was the worst.
Phil, do appreciate the call. Thank you for it. Stephen in Olathe. Stephen, hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So in today's world, we don't have a lot of people who are educated in putting out small fires like that. I mean, people just don't know. Do you put water on it? Do you cover?
Sure.
And, you know, we can never get to the point where 100% of people are doing that. You know, it reminds me of someone saying that TikTok over in different countries have educational videos where we have, you know, stupid prank videos on TikTok. And how beneficial would that be if we did have educational videos on there? And, you know, if you guys do rewind the tapes to about an hour ago, then there's probably two dozen great questions that have been answered. So,
Stephen, I appreciate it. And here's the beauty of this program and learning all the things that you learn between the people that call in and our listeners and officials. I'm trying to think the last time there was an apartment fire this big that we covered and I heard that someone had left a door open. Now, the educated part of my brain that understands oxygen and what that fuels to the fire, like I understand that, yeah, you should probably keep the door shut. I remember my pediatrician saying, when the children were little, you close their bedroom doors at night. And he was adamant about that because I think he had had a patient who had died in a fire. Huh. You close the doors at night when you have babies and toddlers because God forbid if there's a fire, that will help protect them, right? So while I understand that, like, yeah, it would make sense when you're fleeing a fire in panic and calling 911 to shut your door, I don't know that I've ever heard that verbalized ever before today.
A quick correction on the Coates House fire. The caller kept saying 26 people. Not that it really matters. It was 20 people that lost their lives in the Coates House fire. 913-586-7798. Jim, Greg, and Mike, we'll get to all of you in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. By the way, and the Coates House fire has been mentioned several times on the text line and in the last caller. They rebuilt the Coates House fire. It is now the Quality Hill Apartments, I believe, downtown, 10th and Broadway.
You would
easily recognize this building because it was an historical structure. They rebuilt it the same way.
Shut the door on your way out. God forbid if there's a fire. That was the major takeaway here.
Yeah.
Unattended cooking, obviously, notwithstanding. You need to pay attention to what you're doing on the stove. But God forbid if there's a fire, shut the door on the way out.
913-586-7798. Jim in Topeka. Hello, Jim.
Hello there.
Hi.
As much as I hate regulations, these regulations are critical when that you have multi-families living in one structure. There is supposed to be barriers to keep the fire from moving from one place to the other. If those barriers are not in place, when you light one corner of it, it'll just travel through the whole thing like a haystack. So this building might have been old enough that those types of codes hadn't been put in because it traveled out, up, across, down, over, and back up. So there were not any fire barriers within that building to even slow the spread of that fire down. So had those barriers been put in, like modern codes ask for, this fire wouldn't have spread as fast as it did. So that's something to consider and look at when you're asking for how fast a fire can spread.
Jim, do appreciate the call.
Thank you, Jim.
913-586-7798, 586-7798. Greg in Lee Summit. Greg, hi.
Hey, how are you guys doing? It's good to talk to you guys.
Good to talk to you.
Hey, I wanted to share with you a story. My aunt, a great aunt actually, passed away from a grease fire in her kitchen. This was about 20 years ago. However, I just want to point this out in a couple of little takeaways. I really, really, if anybody has a gas stove at home, if you're listening right now and you got a gas stove, if you don't have a chemical fire extinguisher in your kitchen, under your sink, anywhere nearby, please go get one. And the reason why is it happens this fast. My aunt used to cook all the time on the gas stove. And she used to sometimes cook with grease or oil, whatever, on top. And, you know, that stuff gets in it just gets in everything, grease especially. When a pot boils over, that gas regulator underneath just starts going crazy. And if you've ever boiled over a pot on a gas stove, you've seen it. And it gets into the nooks and crannies, and it catches that grease just enough. And in her case, it caught like a side wooden spoon on fire and caught some other things. So it was just enough to get the fuel going. She had turned around. So speaking of unintended, as the fire marshal kind of walked us through it, she had turned around, go to the fridge, whatever, came back, saw there was a big kind of a fire going. So first instinct to do, she grabbed some water, a cup of water or something right by the thing, threw it on it, and it spread it very quickly to the wall right behind her stove. That got going. She realized, oh boy, this thing's going bigger than I thought. I don't have anything to put it out. Had she had an extinguisher, she'd had half a chance.
Yeah.
But then at that point, you got smoke, you got everything else going, and it starts going fast once it hits the walls, especially if it's grease. To your point, Dana, as soon as she hit the front door and opened the door and oxygen hit the house, it was like inferno. So yeah, so it's just like it's that quick, it can move. But if you could give yourself half a chance, if you think about right now fire safety, just put an extinguisher nearby, that would be really good.
And you said a chemical, tell me the kind of extinguisher.
Just a chemical fire extinguisher. So like not your standard fire extinguisher, something that will put out oil, grease, kitchen fires.
Yeah, yeah.
Greg, not to relive a horrible family memory, but if she got to the front door, how did she die?
So she's old. She was older, and it was smoke gets going pretty bad in a kitchen fire. The fire marshal told us that it's almost worse from the kitchen because you got all this other stuff that's in there, and it got the smoke. And she's older; couldn't move as fast, so she was struggling to get to the door. And then, of course, she kept the door locked, whatever. So he's struggling to get the door open. Smoke's building up. She was starting to get herself out the front door. And as soon as she opened the door, the oxygen caught the fire in the kitchen, brought it to the living room, and was like, too much. And yeah. I don't know. She stumbled going out the door. She didn't die in the fire itself. What happened was she ended up with burns so bad that at the hospital she made it 24 hours. Yeah. That's about it.
Greg, we are so sorry, but
oh, no worries,
thank you for sharing the story. And then also, again, you know, have a fire extinguisher of that type right by the gas stove is important.
Somebody on the text line says it is a Class K fire extinguisher that you're looking for.
Sure.
Class K. Mike in Kansas City. Mike, good afternoon. Hi.
Hey, good afternoon to you, too. Nice to talk to you. Per Jim's call, that apartment complex was built in 86, 87 in Independence, FYI.
Okay.
As far as he was going with, you know, what could have prevented it, I guess. The Coates fire, the Coates house, there's a plaque on the north end of it that shows where it's located and explains a little bit about what happened. It was built during the garment district heyday.
Yeah.
And it was a very fancy, nice hotel by the 70s. It had become run down, a lot of vagrants. And people were living in there week to week, month to month, et cetera, et cetera. And the guy that began the fire was up on one of the floors and dragged his motorcycle up there to work on it. And the gasoline in the motorcycle tank is what caused the fire and caught it on fire.
Wow.
Was it arson or accident?
Oh, no, it was accidental. He was working on the motorcycle in his apartment room.
Ooh, okay.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it was okay. Also in the dead of winter. It was freezing outside. And yes. To your point about it being a very luxurious hotel, presidents stayed in it.
Absolutely.
Grover Cleveland among them.
Yes, it was one of the top hotels in the city at that time, in the early 20s and 30s.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call, man.
No problem.
All right. Jeff in Lenexa. Jeff, you're next. Hi.
Hi, Dana. Hi, Scott.
Hello.
I'm a second-time caller to your show, a long-time listener. But back in 1986, I was one of the first tenants that moved into the new Coates House, Quality Hill Apartments. And I got a quick story in 1987. Oh, by the way, Scott Jameson, the program director of KY102 at the time, was on the sixth floor. So we were there in the same building. But anyway, in 1987, they were working on the elevator system, and they started a fire in the elevator shafts, and you would have thought the entire Kansas City, Missouri Fire Department was showing up. It was absolutely amazing. They vacated the building, got the fire out very quickly, and it was quite a story to tell after the big fire before.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Let's just listen to a little bit more with the fire chief, Jimmy Walker, in Independence, his news conference earlier today.
Were they in the apartment that began the fire?
Don't have that answer yet. They were in an area that had some of the heaviest fire damage.
So, any other injuries? I know you mentioned the four deceased.
We had two firefighters transported to Research Medical Center, the Grossman Burn Center for burns. They've already been released. Both had third-degree burns. One was on his hands and his ears. The other one had neck and ears. So it was a hot fire. Our people were trying to desperately to make whatever rescues and put the fire out they could. And
Can you confirm that is this the same complex in 2009 where there was another fire?
I'll look over at my PIO. I don't have that information right now. I know that it was conjecture that there had been fires here before, but I don't know when.
Eric told us this morning that it was caused by an unattended pan.
I don't have confirmation on that right now. We are bringing in...
All right, that is the Fire Chief Jimmy Walker. If you want to weigh in, you're welcome to at 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. We can't ignore it. From the New York Post, a student shot two others, students, in a Nashville high school cafeteria today before turning the gun on himself, according to authorities. The Metro Schools District alerted families that Antioch High School is on lockdown due to shots being fired inside the school building. Authorities said, quote, the person responsible for the shooting is no longer a threat. That's because he turned the gun on himself. The other two students were wounded. And something that's been lost, because this has been a very political week in America for obvious reasons, the Los Angeles wildfires are still burning 2 weeks after they sparked. In fact, a new fire started this morning, and the city of Los Angeles could be in for deeper trouble as the hurricane force winds that first fanned the flames return to the region. Read that, Santa Ana. The city was placed under yet another red flag warning earlier this week as the winds picked up their speeds and continued into Tuesday with wind gusts of 80 to 100 miles per hour. God. My word. LA's red flag warning, issued when conditions are suited to cause wildfires, are still in place today. The winds have the potential to upset the progress that firefighters have made containing the fires, as they could both help the fire spread and then send burning embers flying miles through the air to spark up in new areas. Some new blazes have already sparked up across the landscape, but were quickly extinguished.
Listen to this. One of the fire chiefs out there said, the problem is we've surpassed our human limits to prevent or then put out all of the wildfires, particularly during these extreme wind-driven weather events. We have surpassed our human limits to stop this.
What does that mean? They're exhausted?
No, I think they don't have the manpower or the equipment. No city in the world would have the manpower or the equipment to fight what happened in LA.
But they have firefighters coming in, you know, and maybe it's not enough, from Canada, Mexico, other states around California have been flying into California or driving into California with their equipment to help put out these fires.
Listen to this. If the fires have grown larger and larger, so have the budgets to control and contain them. Quote, this approach is not economically sustainable. We are spending more and more money and seeing less and less effectiveness in the goals of protecting homes from burning down. Read that, a shot across the bow to, honestly, the homeowners and the insurance companies that did insure those homes. Scott, we've talked about this. I don't know how, if you're looking to buy property out there,
why would you
rebuild property out there? Who's going to insure it?
Would you ever move to California?
Oh, God, I love Northern California. I wouldn't move to L.A., but Northern California.
Well, but they get wildfires.
Some of the most beautiful territory in all of the United States.
Wait, have you ever been to Napa Valley?
Yes.
End up at Napa Valley?
Wine and beautiful.
No. How did you end up there?
I won the Price is Right.
That's right.
I would go back in a second. I wish you'd go to Northern California.
I've been to Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
And we went skiing in Lake Tahoe in 2007 or 2008. It is beautiful. I mean, it is gorgeous.
I remember in Sonoma looking around and just saying, why doesn't everyone in the world live here?
It's too expensive.
Breathtaking.
Right. You know who lives at Lake Tahoe?
Who?
I saw him in a bathroom one time and talked to him.
The Whitesnake guy? You have a bizarre fascination with that man.
David Coverdale lives at Lake Tahoe. It's true.
Because you shared a urinal?
Well, we didn't share the urinal. I was to his left. He was to my right. And I broke the man code, and I talked to him and made a comment.
Was there an option for you to leave a urinal space in between? Did you break that as well?
No, there were only two urinals at the old building.
Okay. Because if there was three and you took the middle one, like, we got to have a conversation
about
it.
Have you not
heard this story?
No. It's good. We don't need to go there.
I had to go to the bathroom.
I would hope so, and that's why you went to the bathroom.
Right, and I walk in. I didn't even know he was in the building. This is at the old building in Westwood. And I walk in, and David Coverdale is standing at the urinal on the right one. So I go to the left one. I'm like, oh, my God, that's David Coverdale from Whitesnake. And he's much shorter than you would think. He's like 5'8", 5'9". And I look over, and I broke the code, and these words came out of my mouth. I said, you're smaller than I thought you would be.
Oh, my God.
And he looks over and he goes, what'd you say, mate? And I said, never mind. I think he thought I was talking about...
Yeah. Yeah, you would think.
I was talking about his height.
Did you immediately, like, think about, I just said that.
I crawled inside my own skin.
Yeah.
Never said another word. Cops have busted an illegal... an illegal cockfighting operation in Southern California, arresting two men, detaining nearly three dozen.
Does the word cockfighting ever come without the word illegal preceding it?
I don't know. Ask Scott what happened in the bathroom, apparently.
Okay.
That's enough from you today.
Carry on.
Southern California arresting two men, detaining nearly three dozen spectators, and seizing hundreds of roosters, weapons, and cash. Jose Adame, 33, and Carlos Romero, 35, arrested over the weekend after cops responded to investigate reports of the blood sport occurring at a property in San Bernardino County. Police also detained 33 people at the property, where about 50 vehicles were parked outside, many of them fleeing like cockroaches as authorities arrived. They grabbed 250 roosters, a fighting ring with a scoreboard, 24 firearms from a large safe, and steel talons typically placed on the bird's claws during the fights. They found 17 dead roosters, okay. 8 live ones, okay. And tagged 61 boxed roosters.
That are going to have to be euthanized. You can't, what are you going to, let them loose on a farm somewhere? Look out, Grandma.
That is the strangest.
How did it even begin that that was a thing?
Dan, where did cockfighting come from?
Oh, cockfighting's been around forever, just like dogfighting and gladiatorial fighting between men.
Gladiatorial.
Yeah, ancient history.
Okay. I'm looking it up right now. Cockfighting is a blood sport. Roosters are the combatants. First one recorded in 1634.
It doesn't mean we have to continue to be that stupid today.
Actually, cockfighting started in 1607, and then they say there's also evidence of the Philippines in 1521.
Mm-hmm.
The birds are specifically bred for cockfighting.
They were bored back then. They didn't have the internet.
It goes way back, and the Europeans discovering it in other parts of the world, that's when they mark it down.
Okay.
But it's been around for a long time.
Okay. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes. He's Quentin. She is Dana Wright.
Hey, really quick, when we get back, we are going to just discuss the celebration of a local couple that are marking how many years of marriage?
It's a long time.
I read the biography last night. I cannot wait to share their story with you.
All right. That's coming up in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.